Bonus. Something extra that is good. B-O-N-U-S. Bonus.
All right, guys, I want to welcome you in. It is another bonus episode of Two Peas on a Podcast. Thanks for joining us. This is a special one. This is a mega bonus episode. I've never had this many guests on one program. I'm very excited. Andy is not with us, sadly, this evening, as he does not do a lot of these bonus episodes, unless they are Star Wars related in some way. He always finds a way to do those, but he will not be joining us tonight. But here's what I've got. I've got three of my favorite, and I mean this from the bottom of my heart. I listen to these guys almost every single week, if not every single week. So what we're going to go around the horn here.
Almost.
I didn't want to be safe there. 99.9% of the time I'm listening to these guys on a weekly basis. So let's go around the horn. This is the order that we will be doing our top five lists in today. So one of my favorites that I love, and I just adore her, just a great podcaster. I support her on Patreon. She's amazing. You guys will know her voice if you listen to our show, because I'm always pumping her up. But Emily, from The Story Behind, for the first time being on my show, right, Emily?
We did a quick Q&A.
Yeah, we did the pee break thing.
Yeah.
And you're the voice of the lead in for the pee break, which I appreciate.
I am, yeah.
So people hear you really every week on our show. But Emily, welcome from The Story Behind. So glad to have you.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. You're awesome. And we'll talk, obviously, a little bit about your show later on as well. And then we got my man Dan, who raced home to be on the show. He was in danger of getting pulled over.
Yeah, I risked my life.
But Dan from the Dan and Cody podcast, one half of that duo. What's up, brother?
Thanks for having me, man. I raced home to get here. I wouldn't miss it.
No, you did, man. You could have listened to some of the soundtracks we're going to be talking about to kind of inspire you on your race home. We'll get into that here in a minute. And then you guys know this dude. He's been on the show a couple times, and he's all over the Podfix Network. He listens to about 7,462 podcasts a week. I think we are one of them. We used to be. We were in the mix. But let's say what's up to Chris from More Gooder Than. What's up, brother? How you doing? Welcome back.
It's about 9,000 podcasts a week. You got to support indie, man.
Okay, you've added some.
And of course you're on. You are on the list, the rotation, my man.
I love it.
So, of course.
I love it,
you
man.
You know how much I love you.
I love you too, brother, and I appreciate and also, the support.
Dan, I'm going to destroy you. Okay. This is we have beef.
There's no one wins or loses, right?
Well, we're going to put it up on Facebook to see who had the best list, but you know, hey.
Oh, son of a bitch.
Keep it friendly. Keep it friendly. Wow.
Now I have to change my number one cuz nobody likes this but me.
Oh shit.
Don't change it. I just have to destroy Dan. Everybody else can just keep going.
It's just you two. All right, so let's tell everybody what we're doing, guys. So I've invited these guys on because they're all, like me, they love the 1980s. Is that fair to say, guys? Everybody here is a fan of the decade of the 80s.
Born in it.
Yep.
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 I was born in 1975, so from 80 to 89 were really prominent years in my life for movies, for music, and we're kind of merging the two today, and what we're going to be doing is our top five movie soundtracks from the 1980s. So any soundtrack to a film from 1980 to 1989 is fair game. We decided to not include original scores, so this will just be soundtracks, okay? So that is the criteria for today. There's nothing really to elaborate on that. I mean, it's just, you know, the best movie soundtracks that you guys used to rock out to while you were putting in your hairspray and leg warmers and whatever the hell else you were doing back then. I don't know. The order that we're going to go in, we're going to let the lady go first. We are gentlemen here at Two Peas. We're creepy, but we're gentlemen. So we're going to let Emily go first in The Story Behind. So Emily, give us your number five soundtrack from the 1980s.
My number five is Back to the Future.
Oh, interesting.
Absolutely. 1985. Mm. There's a lot of 1950s songs in there, but there's also Huey Lewis and the News. I can't forget the News.
Yeah, Power of Love.
Yeah. These are all my songs. I can't even, I'm not even embarrassed to say that Huey Lewis is awesome.
Oh, no, he's great. I love Huey Lewis. You know that he had the cameo in that film, too, where he was like,
yeah,
the,
yeah. He was the one who said, I think you boys are just a little too loud.
Mm-hmm.
Quality. Well, I love that movie, but I don't know. I guess the soundtrack for me, I'll let the boys comment, but I can really only remember Power of Love and like the Huey Lewis tunes is really all I remember. So I don't know the soundtrack as a whole. I don't remember really, you know, being in love with that back in the 80s where I love the film. I mean, the movie to this day is one of my favorite movies of all time. What do you guys think about that pick there?
That's a great pick. It's on my honorable mentions. From the Huey Lewis songs, of course, Johnny B. Goode.
Yep.
You know, all the different music in there. That's a fantastic pick, actually. And it almost made my top five.
Earth Angel.
Tip my cap to you.
I think one of the cool things about the soundtrack is there is the joke about Marvin Berry and the Starlighters playing the gig, and they're playing those songs. They're playing Earth Angel and Night Train. And then at one point, Marvin's like, hey, you got to hear this. It's your cousin Marvin. You got to hear, you know, and Marty McFly.
Marvin Johnny Berry.
You know that new sound you're looking for?
Yeah.
I found it. No, yeah, it's great. Great film. I mean, honestly, I don't know if I'm gonna drop the bomb on today's show and say this is the best film of all time in my opinion, but it's probably top five movies of all time for me. Yeah. Back to the Future.
It's a timeless movie. That soundtrack is in my top five as well.
Ooh, Power of Love. Okay.
They play Power of Love in that movie like five different times.
Mm-hmm. I was fine.
It's awesome. But and then throughout the entire trilogy, like he's trying to play Power of Love when he breaks his hand in Back to the Future 2 on the guitar really slow.
That's true. Yeah.
And like, yeah, I mean, like the song was written for the movie.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's great, man.
I love it.
Great, great, great soundtrack.
All right. Well, Danny boy, why don't you go ahead and pick up then? So give us your number five soundtrack from the 80s. What do you got over there, buddy?
Well, I think two of mine don't really fit anymore, but I got 1985's Goonies.
Okay.
Nice.
Yeah. Cindy Lauper.
Purely. Yeah. That's it.
It's good enough for me.
I'm okay with it.
Yeah.
I'm okay with it.
Yeah, man. Cindy Lauper, like when I think of Goonies, I think of those little kids riding down the street in their bikes to that song. Really cool. Cindy Lauper actually hated that song.
Mm-hmm.
And she wasn't on any of her albums. But Spielberg made her the musical director of that film.
Nice.
Yeah, which is nuts to me. And she wouldn't, so she wouldn't perform that song for the longest time, but all of her fans were like, dude, that's like why we like you.
So, yeah. You might want to rethink that. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
But I mean, I don't really care what else is on that soundtrack. Like that song is just so identifiable to the Goonies that it made my list.
Great, hey, just like Power.
Girls just want to have fun on there too.
Oh, was it? Yeah, you might be right. Actually, you might be right.
Mm.
Yeah, I mean,
and I mean the original stuff on the original score of that film is awesome too. But I know we're not counting that. But
no, it's all good, man. Hey, nope.
I'm slide it in there.
Hey, I will tell you, Goonies is a great flick, and I do remember that song. That's one of those songs that just kind of you just always remember from the 80s. So good pick there, Dan. Nice way to get started on number five there, brother. Chris Brayton, what do you got over there for your number five, Chris?
See, this is nice. Mine and Dan's list doesn't like immediately line up. That makes me happy.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Just goes to show you how much I'm going to destroy you now, Dan. Okay. So we're going to go with 1984's Risky Business.
Okie dokie.
Yeah. So you got, of course, you get the iconic, you know, slide from Bob Seger's old time rock and roll. You get some Muddy Waters in there. You get Prince You get DMSR from Prince in there. Anytime Prince is in something, that's always great. You got Jeff Beck in there. And of course, In the Air Tonight, Phil Collins having sex on a train. Well, not Phil Collins having sex on a train. Yeah. Tom Cruise having sex on a train. And anyway, you get the drums. So it's all in there. But yeah, Risky Business. I don't know if I've seen that movie all the way through, which is funny. Like I've seen, like it's been on TV and like I've watched it in pieces, but what I remember is the music from it. So,
yeah.
So as of right now, the soundtrack to the movie is better than the actual movie.
Well, I'm a huge
Risky Business.
I'm a huge Bob Seger fan. He's one of my favorite artists. And you have Old Time Rock and Roll, which is the song that you're talking about where he slot that iconic slide into the living room there. That really started Tom Cruise, right? Yeah, that role started Tom Cruise's career, right? I mean, unless I'm forgetting something. I feel like that was his moment.
I mean, you had Legend, and then you had Top Gun, and then those all came out like simultaneously. Those all those movies like that, yeah.
Cool. Emily, you digging that pick? You've seen Risky Business.
That's one of those movies that I still haven't seen, but I know all the iconic parts and I feel like I've seen it because I already know the plot, but I do need to sit down and watch that movie at some point.
Right. Same.
No, you don't.
You're good. Just listen to the soundtrack. It'll be fine.
Yeah. Just wear a dress shirt and slide around on your on your floor there. You got it.
That's all you're missing.
You want to see Rebecca De Mornay a little naked? That's fine too. Yeah, just Google it.
All right, guys. Well, my number five soundtrack, and Brayton just mentioned it, is Top Gun from 1986. What have I got written down here? Okay, so it's an action-packed movie, obviously. With the soundtrack, it's an action-packed movie with a soundtrack to match. Few albums start with a punch as good as Kenny Loggins' Danger Zone. Sets the tone for the whole film, sets the tone really for the soundtrack. Take My Breath Away, obviously one of the greatest ballads to come out of the 80s. Playing with the Boys, I mean, who doesn't want to get shirtless to start playing volleyball when they hear that? You know what I'm saying? Get all oiled up. I don't know if you guys know, but when they had some of the re-releases, they put classics like You Lost That Love and Feeling and Great Balls of Fire on there as well, because those are obviously sung throughout the film by the characters in the movie. But Top Gun, great film, great soundtrack,
so good,
and I feel like they go well together. So that is my number five, is Top Gun.
Nice.
All right, cool.
That soundtrack makes me want to sweat athletically in a volleyball area with dudes.
Absolutely, brother.
My fantasy football team for totally into be sweaty with you anytime. Mm-hmm. And then, but my fantasy football team is called the Danger Zone. That's my, and so anytime I'm playing someone that week, I email them some type of different link almost every day of like that song. And it's just, so it's like, it's just nonstop that you're entering the Danger Zone.
To be honest, that is my biggest fear in life, is to be that sweaty in jeans on a beach. How uncomfortable that is.
Right.
That would be so uncomfortable.
This is horrible.
But if you had that soundtrack, I mean, hey, look, how cool would you look,
true.
Bro? I mean, I'm saying,
very, very true.
How cool would you look? All right, so let's wrap back around to the lady on the panel here, Emily, for your number four soundtrack from the 80s.
So I feel bad that this is so low, but I have Purple Rain for my number four.
Okie dokie.
Because it's Prince.
Low.
It's Prince. I know, it's low. We'll do the countdown thing of low.
Low. Where's Paul in the soundboard? But
I can only listen to it every so often, and then I'm like, oh, this is so good. But it's like, it's almost so good that I have to, all right, and now I put it down for a year so I can appreciate it again.
right. Well, that's going to come.
All I think of is Prince and his eyes of just like crazy in your face through the whole movie. That was all they did, was just close-ups of his face.
Yeah, I mean, I will say that's going to,
that's right. That's all you need. That's all you need from Prince.
That's true. They didn't even need a plot. No.
I will say it's going to come up later, so I don't want to get too deep into Purple Rain, but Dan and Chris, you guys are obviously cool with that pick, I assume, right? I mean, Prince is,
of course.
Forget about it, you know?
Absolutely.
Okay, cool. All right. Well, good pick there, Emily. I will say low. I'll get Paul in here for you to commentate that. All right. So, Dan, what do you got? Were you able to come up with another one yet? Or are you still looking at all your scores that you picked for the show today?
Will,
what's your number four, brother?
Will, is The Little Mermaid acceptable?
Oh, it's Disney, but I mean, it's a musical. I don't know. Chris, that's good, right?
89, right?
89.
Yeah, why not?
Yeah, wait. No, it's good. Little Mermaid. Yeah. You're solid work, man.
Purely based on Kiss the Girl and Under the Sea.
I thought you were going to say Power of Love by Back to the Future.
Yeah.
Purely based
Huey
on
Lewis,
that.
Huey Lewis in The Little Mermaid was fantastic. Mm.
That would be amazing.
He really was.
So good.
That'd be a good soundtrack.
Deleted scenes. He's King Triton. What more is you looking for? Under the sea. Under the sea. Darling, it's better down where it's wetter. Take it from me. Up on the shore, they work all day. Out in the sun, they slave away.
All right, well, good pick, Dan.
Under the Sea, man. Under the Sea is probably one of the greatest Disney songs to this date, I would say.
Yeah.
That got a lot of play on my cassette tape as a kid.
You know, I don't know why I didn't think about. You see her. Did you guys think about Disney movies when you were doing your list? I mean, don't give anything away.
I put in one musical. I let myself have one musical, and that was it.
Okay, Dan just kind of blindsided me a little bit because honestly, now that I'm thinking about it, I didn't put any Disney ones, and now that I'm thinking about it, I feel like there's one that I'll mention. I'm going to write it on my honorable so I don't forget to tell you guys. But I feel like there's one I probably would have put on here, but I didn't think about Disney movies for some reason when I did my list.
I apologize because I didn't.
No,
think
you
about
killed
scores.
It, bro.
So I'm like, no, killed it. Shit. I think I have a lot of just full scores of like original music.
No, original songs by like, you know, again, I don't want to do any spoilers for anybody's list, but Little Mermaid's good, brother. That's a good, good soundtrack. No argument for me, man. I'm actually just disappointed I didn't think about the Disney movies that I love to put on here. All right, Chris Brayton, you're up.
Dan, you're going to win now.
Yeah.
Yay.
Dan. Hey, it's going to win now.
Hot Mermaid's always a win. You're up, Chris Brayton.
She's 16, you creep.
Oh, yeah, just kidding. We talked about that already. Never mind.
No, I'm going to go with, I'm curious if this made anyone else's, but I went 1984's This is Spinal Tap.
Nice. So, I thought about that.
I did too. I thought about it, but didn't put it on.
Yeah, I didn't see this movie till I was in my mid-20s, and I just feel like if I would have saw this at like 17 or 18, Christopher Guest is a genius. Everybody in that is just amazing. But honestly, the music is really good, man. Like, it's a lot of fun, and it's like more 80s than 80s. You know, like, it's so 80s that it transcends 80s.
Yeah, well, it's part of a trilogy, really, a musical trilogy that I'm doing in D minor, which I always find is really the saddest of all keys, really. I don't know why, but it makes people weep instantly to play a... It's a horn part.
It's very pretty.
You know, just simple lines intertwining, you know, very much like I'm really influenced by Mozart and Bach, and it's sort of in between, though. It's really, it's like a Mach piece, really.
What do you call this?
Well, this piece is called Lick My Love Pump.
And I love it. The Stonehenge dance, Lick My Love Pump, I'm going to rock you tonight. I'm going to rock you tonight. It's just everything. It's so good. And it is more of a musical or a documentary. And so all the songs are written specifically for it. But anyway, all those songs are just hilarious and fun and so smart. And you know, I love that. I love the whole thing.
I agree.
Spinal Tap.
I definitely considered it, but it did not make it onto my list. But yeah.
It's solid.
I agree. No doubt. Awesome, brother. All right. So we are up to.
Going down, Dan.
What are we up to? We're up to number threes, right? You guys are still at it.
Sorry.
No problem.
I'm sorry.
He hates me.
Is this
we're friends. We're friends. Remember? I've been to your home. We're good friends. Been to my house.
Good friends.
Oh.
I, We've held each other's children.
I mean, come on.
All right, so my number four from 1987. This is maybe my sleeper pick. It might not even be a movie that you guys have seen. You've probably heard of it, but I'm not sure who has seen it and who hasn't. But it's the soundtrack to a film called Less Than Zero.
Yes. That's a good movie. That scared one of my friends from doing drugs.
Oh, really?
Yes. Wow. Yeah.
Well, we're talking Robert Downey Jr., James Spader, Andrew McCarthy, which they were in pretty much every teen film in the mid-80s. And this is another one. And a couple songs that will probably ring a bell to you guys if you're not familiar with the soundtrack. So the Bangles redid a Simon and Garfunkel song called Hazy Shade of Winter. And it's a really cool kind of like rock pop version of that song that is awesome. Going Back to Cali by LL Cool J, the first time that song ever was recorded was for the soundtrack. And likewise, Bring the Noise by Public Enemy, first time that song was ever recorded was for the soundtrack also. You've got a Kiss cover by Poison, Rock and Roll All Night, Slayer, Danzig, Joan Jett and the Blackhearts, Aerosmith, and Roy Orbison's last recording before he passed away was on this soundtrack. So Less Than Zero is kind of all over the place, but it's one of those soundtracks that obviously is from the 80s, but it's like it could have been made last year. So it's timeless in that way, and I remember I loved it when it came out. I was around 12 or 13 years old when it came out, and I just thought it was so cool, and it was such a cool movie to see, and you know, kind of like, well, some of them may come up, so I don't want to spoil anybody's picks, but there's some other movies that Spader and Downey Jr. and those guys were in that this kind of fell in that same category. So I used to love Less Than Zero, and the soundtrack was no exception. So that's why it's on my list at number four there, guys. You guys familiar with that soundtrack? I know Emily loved it, but Dan, Chris?
I'm not. No, I'm not familiar.
Cool. Well, you guys should check it out. It is a little depressing, amazing, though. It's a little depressing. It's a little depressing because...
that's a great soundtrack.
Oh, it's a great soundtrack, no doubt. The movie's a little depressing, I should say. Emily, remind me, but they go to college, right? And then when they come home to California for Christmas, actually, like, is it Robert Downey Jr. is the one that's like hooked on cocaine and he's like ruined his life basically in the year that his best friend was gone or something to that effect?
Yeah, it's like they come home and Andrew McCarthy and Robert Downey Jr. are best friends, and then Robert Downey Jr. ends up with James Spader in a weird, drug infested way.
Right.
You know, Andrew McCarthy's trying to get him clean.
Mm-hmm. And there's like a love triangle thing going on. I can't remember the actresses in it, but it's kind of a depressing movie, but the soundtrack is just banging. You guys will love it. A lot of great artists on it that are still actually going strong today. So that's my number. That's my number four.
Yeah. I think I like the Bangles version better.
Oh, I do too. Oh, no doubt.
I feel bad saying that, but I'm like, I love that song so much.
No question. Okay. Awesome. Well, thanks guys for reminding me to give you my number four. All right, Emily, now you're up for your number three. What do you got?
Now is where Nick from Epic Film Guys just shuts it off, because I'm putting down 1987's Dirty Dancing.
Yes, you are. Yes, you are.
Get Nick out of your head. Get Nick out of here. he doesn't belong here. Get his negativity out of here. I don't even care if he is in my network and I love him. He got Dirty Dancing is a fantastic movie.
Oh yeah, love it.
Get out of here, Nick.
It's so great. It's just, you know, it's all 1960s. Then you have Patrick Swayze singing. You know, for the longest time, I did not know that was Patrick Swayze's song. I didn't know that was actually him singing. I just knew the song growing up, and then...
News to me. She's like the wind through my tree. She rides the
night next to me. Yeah, and it's like, you hear that, and I'm like, wait, really? He can sing and dance and act, and then Nick comes along into my life, and I'm like, oh, I guess he can't act because Nick is cool, and I want Nick to like me.
No, he can act, Nick. The Epic Film Guys, Nick, get out of here.
And
Patrick Swayze is a national treasure.
Oh, he is.
He needs a posthumous Oscar.
And he is a
posthumous Oscar.
He is a hell of a bouncer, too. Yeah, absolutely. You know, Paul hates him too, right, Emily? Or Dirty Dancing, I should say.
Oh, yeah. I'm so sorry.
They're going to hate this show. But
get out of here, Paul, with your negativity.
All right. Well, that's hey, I love that pick because that's well, it'll come up later. We're having a little crossover here, Emily. I love it.
Oh boy.
Okay. All right, Dan. So you're up, buddy, for your number three soundtrack from the 80s. What do you got over there, man?
All right. I'm gonna go with 1983's Scarface.
Ooh, nice.
I really like Scarface, the Scarface soundtrack. It's very like it's almost like it could be the Drive soundtrack. You know, like you know, like yeah. there's very like just songs of like they just sound very timeless and like electronic almost. Like when he's walking around, it's like down and and then like when they're in the club, that Yayo song, the Push It to the Limit song.
Yeah, for sure.
It's amazing.
It's a great. I mean, it's. I got to look up the soundtrack because the memories of the movie are. I own it on Blu-ray, and it's one of my favorite movies for sure from that era. But the soundtrack is just not ringing a lot of bells right now. But
when it's like
it's got some good.
Specifically, when he starts to make it, it's very like disco and like synthesized, like almost like Tron. I bet you could mash like the Tron soundtrack to this soundtrack.
Okay.
And it would be the same.
Okay, so the soundtrack besides, because there's pop songs on there, like Debbie Harry's in there too. So but the soundtrack is actually done by a German techno guy. His name's Giorgio Moroder. And Giorgio Moroder is a huge influence on any techno band. And actually, it's so cool you say Tron because the guys who did Tron Legacy, Daft Punk, one of their songs on their album, Random Access Memories, is called Giorgio by Moroder. And it's like this. Ooh. And like he did Neverending Story and like just tons of like awesome 80s music. So like I'm a huge fan of that guy. So yeah. I love that you picked it. But the actual like soundtrack songs are really good on there too.
Awesome.
But yeah. Good pick, man.
Nice little trivia there, Chris. And Dan, he says you're still going down. I don't know why. He just messaged me that. I don't know.
No, you're good. You reminded me that we were friends. I'm like, oh, that's right. Yeah, that's right. We're friends. I don't need to hate him. Take him down. That's right. Okay.
You so made me calm down. Bread.
Now you can reshun.
Yeah,
reshun.
Yeah. Nice. All right, Chris Braden, you can
that Yayo song.
Oh yeah, yeah. Chris Braden, you can pop in, brother, with your number three.
I feel like I got really excited about the Giorgio Moroder thing, and I feel like I cut Dan off, but I
no, it's fine.
It's a good pick, man.
Yeah. It was definitely a good pick.
It's cool. We're in a fight. It's fine.
Yeah, I mean, oh yeah, that's right. Yeah. Okay. Oh, we're fighting again. Okay. Suck it, Dan. But I picked 1980s Blues Brothers.
Oh, good one.
So it's because like there's no new songs in the soundtrack at all. It's all just a love story to previous years' music and everything. But it's done with such a fun flair. Just I went through a whole bunch of them and. I was never a big fan of like Footloose and things like those. Those 80s movies didn't really speak to me, but like my family liked Blues Brothers a lot. So we watched it or listened to the soundtrack a lot growing up and everything. Anytime you have Ray Charles on a soundtrack, of course, I love it. And, but just anything from that, because it is a musical. So you just have so many songs you can choose from. But yeah, Blues Brothers, I just snuck it in there at 1980. So I feel pretty good.
Awesome.
But yeah.
Awesome.
Well done.
Great pick, brother. And that got some love on Twitter, too. So that's a classic film. So I can only imagine the soundtrack's probably just the same. So my number three is one of my favorite movies to come out of the 80s. And actually, all these are. So that probably has something to do with me remembering the soundtracks so vividly. But my number three is from 1984, Beverly Hills Cop. With Eddie Murphy.
Mm. Yes.
You got... exactly. So that's Axel F. by Harold Faltermeyer. Classic instrumental tune that made the pop charts and kind of did something that instrumental music was not doing at the time. But not only that, it's just it's a lot of Motown music. Patti LaBelle, the Pointer Sisters. You've got Glenn Frey on there. The heat is on. It's just good stuff, man, and it kind of mirrors the film, so it was a great collaboration in the songs that they put together for the movie. And you know, I mean, it's one of those things where like if you put the movie on mute and you play the soundtrack and you watch the movie, I feel like you would still be into it. Like the soundtrack goes with the movie so well. So Beverly Hills Cop is my number three, one of my favorite movies of the 80s, and I used to love the soundtrack too. So that's my number three, guys.
My ringtone for a good 3 to 5 year run when you had
like five things to choose from.
Yeah, when you had to buy them, yeah. You had to buy ringtones for your flip phone.
Yeah.
It was that.
That's classic.
And I lost a lot of friends along the way.
Yeah.
It's all right.
You would never answer. Cool. Just listen to it. Yeah. That's awesome.
I've never seen any of the Beverly Hills Cop movies, and I still know that song.
You still haven't seen Beverly Hills Cop?
Cut his mic.
One of those things you go into any music class and, you know, kids would go to the piano and they wouldn't know anything else except for that one theme song. They're just like, I know how to play this. And that was it.
Exactly. Yep.
Well, thanks, guys. We're at our runner ups. We're getting to the nitty gritty here. So, Miss Emily, you are up for your runner up, your number two spot.
Okay, number two. Chris kind of ruined it by being like, I don't like this, but it's 1984's Footloose.
Wow, I feel bad now.
Yes, what as a you jerk.
Get out of here, Chris.
As you should.
Get out of here, Chris.
It's Kenny Loggins. It's wonderful. And you know, there's so many great songs. There's Let's Hear It for the Boy, Almost Paradise, Holding Out for a Hero. I mean, like, the whole soundtrack. Plus, they made a musical out of it, and I was in a version of it, so it's like special time. It was so much. Oh my God. I think that was the most. I was Wendy Jo, which was one of, you know, the main girl's friends. And she's like, they kind of turned it into Grease a little bit. So I was kind of the fat girl who was just like, I want a burger with all this stuff on it and a Diet Coke. And it was so much fun to play, though. Like, I loved it.
Well, that's awesome. Did you like the remake? A lot of people hated on that remake.
Wouldn't watch it. Nope.
I liked it. Was it good? Yes. It was Julianne.
The Grease remake?
No, for Footloose. They did like three or four years ago. It was Julianne Hough was the girl in it. And I can't remember. Miles Teller was in it. And
I love him.
But a lot of people hated on it. But I'm like, it was actually pretty good. I mean, you're not going to be able to recreate the magic or whatever. But
it was Kevin Bacon. And John Lithgow was so good.
Hey, good pick, though. I mean, definitely one of the most popular and most successful soundtracks of the 80s, no doubt. Footloose, Emily's number two.
I feel bad.
Well done.
I feel so bad now.
It's okay.
It's all right.
Yeah, you should. You came in here very negative.
As long as you love my number one, that's all I care about. Everyone should love my number one.
It's your number one. But your number one's not Purple Rain, right?
She already said it. Didn't you say at the start of the broadcast that nobody was going to like your number one, Emily?
Yeah, but now Chris needs to. Chris needs to. Oh, you're telling me for my number one.
I got you.
I'm already. Okay. I'm on team story behind.
All right. Awesome. Awesome. All right, Dan, give us your number two runner-up, brother.
All right, I'm going to go with 1986's Labyrinth.
Wow.
Ooh. Bowie crushed
magic dance.
He crushed that whole goddamn thing.
Yeah, I don't know this soundtrack, but I was about to say, is there a lot of Bowie on there? But
there's a ton of Bowie.
Well, you can't go wrong with that then.
The magic dance.
There's a lot of Bowie on there.
Where they're like dance, magic the baby dance. Around. Yeah, I mean, I would play that at a party like tonight and just throw my baby around. It would be awesome.
Just toss.
This song makes me want to toss a baby.
Yeah,
it's got to be good.
That's high praise.
His cod piece, though, that I think scarred me as a kid. I was like, what is that for?
It's no cod piece. That's all Bowie's Bowie knife.
That's all Bowie. But even like the scene. Are you guys familiar with the movie Labyrinth?
It's been a while, but yes.
The scene where she's like running around, like Jennifer Connelly's like running around like all these stairs, and he's singing. Bowie's singing this like ballad, and it's just, I don't know, something magical about that soundtrack.
That's awesome, man. That makes me want to revisit it. I love Bowie, so great pick, buddy.
Check it out.
Dan's runner up there, Labyrinth. What year was that, Dan? Did you look it up? You said
86.
86, okay. All right, Chris, Mr. Brayton, your runner up, Betty, at number two. What do you got over there?
It's an incredible soundtrack from an incredible band. Anything with Queen in it, you can't go wrong. Queen like ruled the 80s for me. So like my whole family, huge fan. So Highlander, the whole soundtrack is just fantastic and like mournful, but like also there's some like super rock out songs in there too. But yeah, Queen's Highlander soundtrack is just too good to be true.
I love Queen, but I'm not familiar with the Highlander soundtrack. I'm sorry, Braden.
I'm not either.
But you guys,
Yeah.
Yeah, we did. We just did it for the show. Yeah. And like, I've been trying to get Highlander onto our show for a long time just so I could talk about the Queen soundtrack. So we just shoehorned in soundtracks to the show. And I watched that movie when I was way too young to watch it. So like, it was super awesome to me. And like, I don't know how it holds up in like to a modern audience, but the soundtrack holds up no matter what age it is. So like, you should just listen to the soundtrack. It's killer.
That's awesome, brother. I definitely will now. No doubt. I love Queen. Great pick,
the
buddy.
The movie's about killing people.
Gotta love Queen.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Yeah. For sure. I'm excited about the Freddie Mercury biopic that's coming out, too. All right, guys. So my number two has already been mentioned by Miss Emily, and I'm, in honor of Nick, going to mention it again. My number two is 1987's Dirty Dancing. What I've got
suck
down.
Suck it, Nick.
Suck it, Nick. That's actually all I've got on my notes is suck it, Nick. I don't even know what songs are on it. I'm just kidding. So what I put here is an almost perfect album mixing 60s oldies with fresh new music. So made to sound classic. All of the music is pure and speaks to the era of the film. I wanted to mention kind of similarities to That Thing You Do with Tom Hanks like 15 years ago. You guys remember that?
Oh my God.
So it's like they sound like they're really kind of like golden oldies, but they're really, you know, modern. Hungry Eyes by Eric Carmen, for example. Obviously The Time of My Life, which was the big hit off of the album. Bill Medley and Jennifer Warnes. And then some classics got some rebirth. The Ronettes, Maurice Williams, Solomon Burke, and many others. I love the Dirty Dancing soundtrack because it's a little bit of oldies and it's a little bit of 80s. And I love that movie, too. It was one of my favorite films back in the day. So that's my number two, Dirty Dancing. Just for Nick. Nice. Just for Nick.
We're sorry, Nick.
Yeah, we're not sorry. He's getting a lot of mentions.
Now that I know that people are afraid of Nick's like anger at liking Dirty Dancing, I just made all five of mine Dirty Dancing. Number five, Dirty Dancing.
You still have number one.
Number four, Dirty Dancing. Number one, not Dirty Dancing, but like all, four, two, three, four, and five, Dirty Dancing.
Every Dirty Patrick Dancing. Swayze movie from the 80s, the soundtrack to all of them, all five. All right. Well, that's my number two, guys, which brings us to our number ones. We're already getting to the end of the show here with our everybody's going to give us their number one soundtrack from the 1980s. And I'm excited to hear what you guys came up with. Emily, you're going to go first with your number one pick. What did you decide on over there?
My number one pick that Chris has to love no matter what is Xanadu.
I love it.
Xanadu.
Ooh, my favorite.
Like the orchestra, it's Olivia Newton-John. It's so wonderful. And there's this one song where they have the 50s jazz big band going and then the 80s just glam rock, and they combine the two. It's the best soundtrack just ever in the entire world. That's it, hands down.
That's awesome. It's great. I was on the countdown with Paul and Wayne, and we did, which was tough, by the way, but we did movies so bad they're good, and this was Wayne's number one.
I know. Wayne is.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, you guys, people were shipping you, but you're married, I think.
People were shipping us, and for good reason. Wayne is going to be my cuddle bunny, yes. And we are going to watch our terrible 80s movies together.
Please do it, record it, do a podcast with him, and let us all hear it. That'd be great. I love Wayne. But yeah, Xanadu, Olivia Newton-John, great pick. So I kind of feel kind of a
favorite.
Guilty pleasure
Chris
thing.
Chris loves
but
it.
Great pick.
Oh, I love Xanadu more than I love my own children. That's how much I love your pick.
Okay.
So...
Wow. All right. Let's go over to Dan from Dan and Cody. One half of Dan and Cody. Dan, what's your number one 80s soundtrack, brother?
All right. My number one.
Do it in your Cody voice.
No, I will not give him the satisfaction. My number one pick from the list that I didn't create during this podcast.
Yes.
Because all of my picks were not valid. Is 88 Beetlejuice.
Work all night and a drink of rum.
Daylight come and we want more.
Stack banana till the morning come.
Daylight come and we want more.
Come, Mr. Tallyman.
Well done, well done.
Say two more times.
Beetlejuice.
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 Ah!
just purely based on that Deo song and the song at the end. That might be the same song. Yeah, Belafonte. Harry Belafonte or something like that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yep.
It's just it's unlike you hear those songs and it's Beetlejuice. Unmistakable. Like that I don't know. It's just money. Love that movie. Love the music. I love when the shrimp eat their faces and push them away. It like grabs them and it's amazing.
Michael Keaton, man.
Great score too. I mean, like, I know it doesn't count, but like the score,
yeah,
Danny Elfman's is his second best score to me. So it's a good one.
It's good stuff.
I'm a huge, you guys, if you listen to the show, you know this. It's not a spoiler alert, but I'm a huge Tim Burton fan. He's probably my favorite filmmaker from top to bottom. So no argument for me, brother. Beetlejuice is a great film and soundtrack was just kind of creepy and fun at the same time, which the movie was too. So, hey, great pick, brother. Yeah. I like it.
That movie made it cool to want to die.
Because
like you could do so much cool stuff.
Hey, being dead's not that bad. Let's do it.
I'd be like, I want to be a football player who gets in a car crash and then I can dance all around the house. It's amazing.
Sounds great. Harry Belafonte.
Coach, I don't think we survived the crash.
Oh, that's good shit, guys. Good stuff. All right, so let's, Chris Brayton, let's get your number one, buddy. Your number one 1980s movie soundtrack. What did you come up with?
It's no Xanadu, and now I wish that I would have done Xanadu, because obviously that's the best one that I missed. Yep. But no, it's 1984, Purple Rain.
Yep.
Like how I built my list was, well, Purple Rain and then what else is left is basically how it was for me.
Yeah.
So, I love Prince.
Purple Rain.
Everything. That movie is a hot sack of wet garbage. My gosh, is that soundtrack. Just perfection.
Yep.
Just absolute perfection. Never meant to call you in pain. Like that movie is just like you can just say it's like the worst made music video ever, and it's just just one long music video for a whole bunch of Prince songs. But no, that soundtrack is just it's the best, one of the best things besides you know, like my wife to come out of the '80s. So besides Xanadu and my wife to come out of the '80s. So
it's a close third.
Yeah, so they're close third. Xanadu, my wife, then Purple Rain. There you go. That's what it is.
Awesome.
Anyway, yeah. And I don't think there's much you can say about it other than movie garbage, soundtrack, amazing. There you go.
Well, I'll piggyback on you, Chris, because my number one is also Purple Rain.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah, buddy.
It is maybe take the 80s out of it. I think it's just the best soundtrack. I mean, I'll just say it right now. Yeah. It's definitely. You
could definitely.
I mean, there could definitely be an argument made, and it's definitely top three, in my opinion, if not number one. But yeah, I just put that as timeless, just like Prince. I mean, you know, the songs that we got introduced to on that album, the title track, of course, but Let's Go Crazy, When Doves Cry, I Would Die For You. You know, these are all.
Darling Nikki.
Yep.
Darling Nikki's always been one of my favorites.
Yeah, I mean, just.
When Doves Cry, man.
Yeah, just classic, man. I mean, classic. And Chris is right. The movie's shit. I mean, the movie is fucking unwatchable with the exception.
It's the worst.
Yeah, with the exception of the portions where the songs are playing, which obviously ended up on the soundtrack. So, you know, it was worth it to get the music that we got from Purple Rain, but the movie itself is not good. But the soundtrack is one of the best of all time. So that's my number one, guys. I feel like that is the soundtrack that has to be number one from the 80s, unless it's Xanadu, of course. That's a given, right?
Clearly.
Okay. Just making sure. All right. So that's it, guys. That was our 5-1 soundtracks from the 1980s. And I got a few honorable mentions, and we'll go around the horn. If there's any that didn't get mentioned today, you want to give a little shout out that you had to bump from your list. Emily, did you have any honorable mentions today?
I did. I tried to stick with just one musical, and I had to go with Xanadu, but Little Shop of Horrors was also on my list.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, that is good. That is good. good call.
He actually, that was Alan Menken, and he also did The Little Mermaid. So in a lot of Disney movies. Yep. And Newsies, yeah. I had to look up Newsies. And I was like, oh, is Newsies the 80s? No, that was like 1991, I think.
It's a good one, though. That's a
that
good
was
one.
Also Alan Menken. But that and Say Anything, but I really just for, you know, the boombox over the head. But the rest of the songs, you know, I'm like, oh, I don't really know these. I just know.
But I had Say Anything on my honorables too, but really it's for the Peter Gabriel song that you're talking about. And then Cult of Personality by Living Color was on that soundtrack too.
Oh, that's a great song too.
Two songs that I love. But all right, we'll keep going around the horn. Dan, did you have any honorable mentions that you looked up in the last 90 seconds?
Oh, no, I had a whole entire list that didn't, that wasn't usable, but I did a lot
what
of
what were your non-usable ones?
Yeah.
So I had the Conan the Barbarian soundtrack, but it's all original stuff. Okay. The theme song, Anvil of Crumb, like that is on like my workout playlist. It's like the first thing I listen to whenever I run or work out. It's like, it's super badass. And I had Gremlins. Just because of the theme song.
Okay.
And Ghostbusters.
That's good.
The Ghostbusters theme song was the number one song for 3 weeks. And it lost the Oscar to Stevie Wonder. Or the Grammy. Sorry. The Grammy to Stevie Wonder.
Wow.
And that was, I just called to say I love you. So, I mean, what are you going to do?
But I mean, come on.
Yeah, Stevie, no doubt. Good, good mentions there, though, buddy. Ghostbusters is a good one that I had forgotten about. That's a good one for sure. All right, Chris Brayton, did you have any honorable mentions that you didn't get to shout out yet today?
Yeah, any of the John Hughes movies, of course. Like all of those had just such really fantastic 80s soundtracks and really just captured. None of those are like super dear to my heart, so I didn't put them on there as much. But all of those I think need to be worth mentioning. And also Little Shop of Horrors was going to be one of mine too. I think that's I didn't see that movie until I married my wife. And she's like, oh, you got to watch this movie. I loved it. It was so good. So, but yeah, so John Hughes. Little Shop of Horrors, and of course, the Conan the Barbarian soundtrack. Of course, that you can never leave out of an 80s.
Of an 80s
soundtrack. That's on every top five list, brother. Absolutely,
82.
Yeah.
Well, honorable mentions for me that we didn't,
and of course,
go ahead.
Dirty Dancing.
Oh yeah, Dirty Dancing, Nick. that we didn't mention yet today. Well, you mentioned the John Hughes kind of legacy, but Pretty in Pink was on my honorable mentions. It was actually my number my number five, but I felt like it mirrored Less Than Zero a little bit too much. Emily will probably know what I'm talking about. They were very, very similar in terms of musical style.
Well, I had Andrew McCarthy and James Spader.
Exactly.
Again.
In the same movie, pretty much, with Molly Ringwald in it. Absolutely. We talked about Say Anything. Stand By Me, I put on here from 1986. Yeah. But I didn't want to put it on the top five because I felt like maybe I was cheating because they're all songs from the 50s and 60s.
Mm-hmm.
But it was an 80s soundtrack. So I just kind of put it on my honorable mentions there. And then there's a movie that I've mentioned on a couple other shows. Actually, we talked about Paul and Wayne on the Countdown. I mentioned it on there. And I went on with Peter at Podstalgic and I talked about this movie. It was from 1985. It was a film called Tough Turf, which ironically also starred James Spader and Robert Downey Jr. And one of their first movie roles for each of them. And there was a lot of rare Jim Carroll songs on that soundtrack. And are you guys familiar with Jim Carroll or the Jim Carroll Band?
Mm-mm.
Have you ever heard of a movie called The Basketball Diaries with Leonardo DiCaprio?
Yeah. Yeah.
So Leo is portraying Jim Carroll in that movie. It's a true story based on that punk rocker's life. But anyway, he is in the movie and a lot of his songs end up on the soundtrack. And there's also an awesome song on there called Love Hates by Marianne Faithfull on the Tough Turf soundtrack. So I wanted to give a shout out to that one. I looked it up on eBay, by the way. It's $199 to get that CD because it's so rare and you can't find it.
Damn.
Because I was listening to some of the songs on YouTube and I was like, I want this shit. And I went on eBay and I'm like, nah, never mind. I'm not gonna have the Tough Turf soundtrack anytime soon. All right, don't that is our top five soundtracks from the 1980s. I want to thank Emily, Dan, and Chris for joining me. I'm gonna go around the horn and let these guys tell you where you can find them. I love all three of these podcasts, so make sure you have a pen out or something to write this down so you can look these guys up. Emily, I don't know if you want to give a spoiler alert because the 80s. The topic today kind of is intriguing based on what you're working on right now. But why don't you tell folks a little bit about the story behind real quick and where they can find you?
Yeah, the story behind is a short narrative podcast. I do the history behind everyday objects in 5 to 10 minutes. in each episode. And Gerald kind of hinted at it, but I'm working on a series now of the story behind 80s edition. So there will be a series of things that came out in the 80s and the story behind them. So that'll hopefully be coming soon. I'm trying to get everything put together for that.
I can't wait.
But everything can be found at thestorybehindpodcast.com.
Can't wait. Great show, Emily. And thank you so much for being here today, too. I really appreciate you.
Yeah. Thank you for asking me. This is like, as soon as you asked me, I had two already down. I had Xanadu right there.
Of course. Of course. Yeah. You and Chris Brayton had Xanadu down right away. We know.
Yep. We sure did.
All right. Dan Hill from the Dan and Cody podcast. You want to tell the folks where to find you? Direct them to whatever you want to direct them to there, buddy.
Yeah, of course, man. So I do a podcast with my buddy Cody Frederick called the Dan and Cody podcast. It's Cody with a K. And we cover daily life, pop culture, current events, things just happening in today's society. And we put our own little spin on it. Just a variety buddy podcast that you can find us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at Dan Cody Podcast. And we're on Apple Podcasts, Google Play Music, Stitcher, all that good stuff. We're not on Spotify yet because we're not cool, like More Gooder Than. And I also do a podcast. I do a podcast with my wife called the Melrose Place podcast.
That's right. Yeah.
And we cover, we rewatch, recap, and analyze every episode of Melrose Place. And you can find that one, Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at Melrose Pod. And that one's also on Apple Podcasts, Google Play Music, and Stitcher. And again, not on Spotify because we are not as cool as Chris Brayton.
More cooler than.
You know what is awesome. On Spotify? The Xanadu soundtrack.
Oh! Wow.
Mr. Dan Hill, thank you for being here, though, brother. I love the Dan and Cody podcast. And the 2P's listeners that are listening to us on a regular basis, you guys will like Dan and Cody. Make sure you check them out. They're basically me and Andy, but funnier. That's the way you guys are more comedy, I would say. Me and Andy are light for sure, and we have fun, but the topics, you know, we get pretty serious at times. So, but I love Dan and Cody podcast. It's a great show, and I listen almost every week, brother. So thanks so much for being here.
This was awesome. Thanks for having me, man.
Yeah, of course, man. And then what do we call you? The Podfather, right? That's what they call you, Chris Brayton. You want to tell people anything or tell us? Everybody knows where to find you, but tell them anyway.
So we're exclusively on Spotify. Unlike Dan and Cody.
You have to have a platinum account and you can listen. Right.
You can only listen to us if you have like the mega account. And I'm the co-host with my buddies, Corey and Donnie. And we come out every Wednesday, and we just like to do movies, old movies, and we have a good time. Emphasis on the fun, not on the critique. And hashtag Xanadu.
Yes, so. Yes.
Here I'm doing you a favor right now. Hashtag true crime. Now you're getting a million downloads.
That's true.
Millions.
Hashtag true crime. Okay, awesome. Emily, Emily from the story behind Dan from Dan and Cody and Chris from More Gooder Than have been my guests today for this bonus episode of 2P's. All of our information will also be in the show notes, as well as all of these guys. You can look up their great podcast and give them a download, give them a subscribe, give them a thumbs up, do all that good stuff. And Andy and I will be back with our newest episode every week. And guys, I can't thank you enough for being here. I really appreciate it. And that's doing it for us today. Thanks so much to everybody here. I appreciate it.
Are the secrets of the night. The story's hidden from our sight. It dances deep. Thank you.
You've been listening to a Blazing Caribou Studios production. Support and subscribe to our Patreon at patreon.com/blazingcariboustudios.